stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 25 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa. You can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you want to get in contact with me to ask me anything about my thoughts for where your team's at this season, if you want to know, hey, is this a good trade for me to make? I am more than willing to answer those questions. In fact, I've been answering a lot of those over the past couple weeks now that the season has started. So feel free to reach out, and sometimes those topics will become something for this episode, whether it's a segment or even an entire topic. Also, if you haven't checked out our sponsors, Ultimate Autographs, you need to go do that. At Ultimate Autographs, you can get all sorts of amazing sports memorabilia that is authentic, signed memorabilia that you can hang on your walls, you can display on a shelf, all depending on exactly what it is you're looking for. So if you go over to Ultimate Autographs and use the code HARMON15 at checkout, you'll get 15% off your order. Once again, that's Ultimate Autographs. Use the code HARMON15 at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your order. This week's episode is recapping something that I have been talking about for a while in the lead up to the season that didn't quite go the way I was expecting. So what I was looking at leading up to the season was that kickoffs were going to be a lot more prevalent, and that it was something that we were going to want to pay a lot of attention to. We know that the NFL is trying to encourage the kickoff to be an actual play and not just be a touchback fest like it has been the past couple years, and they did succeed in increasing the total number of kickoffs. The number of kickoffs, I've seen some stuff that it's the most number of kickoff returns since like 11 years ago or something like that. But before the season, I was predicting somewhere between 50 and 60% of all kickoffs would be returned, and instead that number is 33%. The reason for that is a lot of teams are electing to just go for touchbacks rather than try and get returns because they don't want to have big returns be returned against them, or they potentially just don't want to practice it in practice, so it's I've seen some stuff where some coaches are like, hey, if we just always kick it through the end zone, we don't need to practice it as much because we just aren't going to have many returns if our kicker just always boots it through. And so what I wanted to do was see if there is a trend in terms of teams returning a lot, teams targeting specific teams of like, hey, maybe they don't like their returners, they want to try and set up their offenses in worse positions. And if there are teams that are just always going for the kickoff, that are just, regardless of who they're playing, they're trying to get them to return the ball. And what we can do is use this to identify if there are any kick returners that we want to try and insert into our lineups. Especially if you are in the Scott Fishbowl this year, this is very relevant. I know I have a bunch of kick returners on my team, and so what I'm attempting to do with this is figure out, hey, which guys are ones that I would want to have available to stick in my lineup and know that I can pretty reliably predict that they're going to return a bunch. Obviously, it's only 2 weeks of data, so it's not going to be anywhere close to a 100% hit rate. But the general idea is still there of, I want to see if I can predict this now. Because if I can, that gives me a leg up over the course of the entire season, and I'm going to be able to react to identifying, hey, these are the kick returners that I want to be sticking into my lineup sooner before any of my other league mates. So what I've done is I have identified all teams that are either kicking it more than average, which is that 33% of the time, or that are returning it more than average, or returning it more than 33% of the time. And I found that there's not that many teams that that is happening to across both games. So I looked at each game individually, and they needed to return more than 33% in both games, and same with kicking it more than 33% in both games. And so there's not a whole lot of overlap between the two. So we're able to see an actual pattern in what a lot of teams are actually trying to do, or whether they're being targeted in terms of the return teams. Now, there are a couple instances where maybe this is just beginning of the season sort of thing. Maybe some of the kicking teams in week one, they kick to some of the return teams, and then they realize in week two, hey, maybe we don't want to do that, so then they stopped. But we can use this data to try and figure out, hey, where are there any crossovers, and potentially identify some games where there might be a large overlap where we definitely want to be targeting kick returners of a specific team. So we have 9 teams that in the first 2 weeks of the season kicked greater than average in both games. I'm going to go through those teams right now, and then I'm going to talk about some of them specifically. So those teams are Baltimore, Carolina, Chicago, Denver, Houston, Miami, New Orleans, Tennessee, and Washington. Note that none of these teams have any influence in terms of that they need the ball kicked to them. This is entirely their decision for we are going to kick it and try and encourage returns. Now, Baltimore is a little bit of an exception in this data set. And out of these 9 teams, if you remove returns that were greater than 67 yards, the Raiders actually returned a couple times greater than 67 yards. 67 yards being takes you more than 2 yards into the opposing end zone. So I have noticed just from watching games that if it's right at that goal line up to 2 yards in, the returners will still tend to return it. But anything past that, I call an optional return. So it's the receiving team opted to return it as opposed to the kicking team trying to force them into returns. So every other time there was a return for all of these other 8 teams and in one game with Baltimore, it was the case of those balls were landing in that sweet spot of that 27 or 25 yard line down to, I would call it, the -2. And so those were encouraging returns and essentially forcing a return. So we're trying to identify the teams that are kicking it a lot into that range and are doing that at an above average rate. And so we have those 9 teams. Out of those 9 teams, the only one that kicked to 2 teams that have been returning at an above average rate is Tennessee. The other team played at least one or potentially 2 teams that are not returning at an above average rate. We can confirm that these teams are teams that are attempting to induce returns. So we can identify the players that are playing against these teams in order to say, hey, these guys probably are going to return extra this game more than we would normally expect. I would expect that these stay pretty sticky over the course of the season, and unless those teams decide to make a change, but that means we can target their week 3 matchups. In this case, that means we want to target Dallas, Las Vegas Raiders, Colts, Buccaneers, Vikings, Seahawks, Eagles, Packers, and Bengals returners. So feel free to go back over that list. Just pay attention to who the returners are and determine whether you have them and whether you want to play them in your lineups. So now let's look at the teams that have greater than average returns in both of their games. The first one is Carolina. So they have gone against New Orleans and the Los Angeles Chargers, which means that they've only gone against one kicking team. So it does mean that the Los Angeles Chargers decided to kick more returnable balls to Carolina than they have the rest of their season. So it does mean that, okay, potentially if you have Raheem Blackshear, teams are potentially targeting him, just trying to get him to return the ball more. It also could be the risk of doing that against Carolina just isn't that great, since their team hasn't been doing that well, and so they're giving their return teams more practice. I don't know exactly what their philosophy is, but Carolina is a potential target. Chicago is another target, but they've gone against two kicking teams, Houston and Tennessee. And so I wouldn't necessarily determine that Chicago is one being targeted for kick returns, because they've gone against two teams that like to kick it a bunch. However, Chicago also has had some problems at the kick return position. Their initial kick returner, Velus Jones, he fumbled the ball on his on opening weekend. He wasn't even active in week two. So, like, they've had some turmoil at the kick return position. So potentially Chicago is just being targeted because they don't have a good guy back there. They're perceived not to have one by the NFL. Cleveland, they've gone against Jacksonville and Dallas, both of whom did not do as many kick returnable balls to their other matchups. So Cleveland is one that is being targeted, probably because their offense isn't as good. The Los Angeles Chargers have also been targeted. So the Los Angeles Rams and Carolina, so Carolina has kicked returnable balls to both of their matchups, but the Rams have not. And so the Los Angeles Chargers are potentially somebody that you also want to still be targeting there. The New York Jets are another one against San Francisco and Tennessee. If you remove kicks going further than 67 yards, they only have one because of the San Francisco game. Xavier Gipson did force a return there in that San Francisco game, which bumped them to above average. So that is potentially one that they are not being targeted. And also with how good Gipson is at the return game, he is more or less a specialist in that. I would not be surprised to see that it's just Tennessee's electing to do returns and San Francisco wasn't trying to do as many as they offered to him, and that he just took one that went deeper than expected. So the last one is Tennessee. They went against the New York Jets, who have not been kicking as many returnable balls, and Chicago has been kicking returnable balls. So they are one of those teams that is also being targeted. I think it might have to do with who their returner is in Jaquan Jackson. Just a lot of teams probably not knowing how good he is and deciding to challenge him a little bit. So those are the six teams that you could potentially target. I'll run through them. That's Carolina, Chicago, Cleveland, Los Angeles Chargers, New York Jets, and Tennessee. So those are probably your priority kick returners. And then if they happen to be playing one of those nine teams that I talked about that are kicking above average, I'll read them out here for you again just for convenience sake. Baltimore, Carolina, Chicago, Denver, Houston, Miami, New Orleans, Tennessee, and Washington. If they're going against one of those teams, then you might want to start that guy because they're going to be targeted to kick return it more and then also be kicked more returnable balls. So especially as it gets into bye weeks in my Scott Fishbowl league and also in any of my other leagues that have kick returners, I'm going to be looking specifically for those matchups where I'm having one of these returners and it's matching up with one of these teams that likes to kick it a lot. That's going to be the change that this makes to me, and I will return back periodically just to see how this is progressing throughout the season, whether these teams are in fact continuing to do returns or not. So now I'm going to go through the two other things that I'm keeping track of this season. For the first one, it is the number of players that are rostered on a team. So since last week, we have seen an increase of one additional player rostered at every single position over the past week. Since the beginning of the season, that means that we've had the same number of running backs, but an increase of one at the quarterback position and at the tight end position, and an increase of two at wide receivers. So we're already starting to see, okay, these are the players that are getting picked up and added to our teams, and we can kind of tell how it is corresponding to the injuries going on around the NFL. The wide receiver number increase being two since the beginning of the year. When you think about the injuries that have happened in terms of, you've had Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua go down, so you're probably picking up some Rams wide receivers. And we've also seen A.J. Brown go down, so a lot of people have gone. They saw Britton Covey have that performance on Monday night. I saw him getting picked up a bunch. You look at some results like that, and it makes sense why that wide receiver number is up a little bit. The running back number being about the same, it kind of tracks with some of this discussion around, okay, how many running backs you really want to go back on in any running back on a 53 strategy. The number from last week going up is probably because of adding those Kareem Hunts, because most of those Carson Steeles and Samaje Perines were already owned on a lot of your teams, but potentially that Kareem Hunt is going around and getting added on your teams. And then that tight end going up by one, we're probably going to see this number rise a little bit, especially if these top tier tight ends don't do as well. I could see some people trying to play that waiver wire more, really trying to target random tight ends that have a good week, just hoping that it's going to continue on for consecutive weeks. So obviously it's so early in the season that I don't know exactly what we're going to want to do in terms of taking this data and turning it into something, but I'm putting it out there, and if anybody sees where a trend is going, please let me know, and maybe I'll talk about that on one of these episodes. Now for the tight ends don't matter segment. Obviously last week was another rough week. I chose Jordan Akins, and I had one catch for 10 yards. Combined with Johnny Munt's week one, which was two receptions for 12 yards, we are not doing that great. We're at three receptions for 22 yards. However, when you compare that to the tight ends that are actually being played in your lineups, like, look at the number of guys that are top tier tight ends that have not been doing very much. Your Travis Kelce's, your Mark Andrews, Dalton Schultz, Jake Ferguson's, Evan Engram, Luke Musgrave, all of those guys are down in that sort of range. So the current warp of our tight ends don't matter conglomerate is -0.041. However, the guys clustered at zero warp are Kelce, Andrews, Schultz, and Ferguson, and Engram and Musgrave are actually worse than our combined player. So we will see how this does over the course of the next couple weeks, whether we can start to bring this back up into that positive warp range, or whether this tight ends don't matter strategy maybe is not working as well this year. Maybe there's something changed in how the market is identifying them, such that I don't have the ability to choose some tight ends. So going into my picks for this week, I have the option of a few different guys. First option is to roll back Jordan Akins. I don't think that's necessarily a bad option. He is going against the New York Giants, who are a positive matchup for tight ends. The real question is whether we want to continue to rely on the Browns offense, and I'm honestly not sure that we do. He's definitely a good option. Like, I'm not going to be... If you don't have any of my other two main options for this week, I'm fine rolling him back out again. But he's just somebody that I'm not too excited about compared to where I was last week. If you picked up Foster Moreau based on my recommendation last week, he's another good option. He's somebody that he was out there for like 84% of the snaps last week. And then he didn't get a single target. There was not a single target that was actually thrown to anybody at the tight end position by New Orleans last week. Their entire passing attack went to only their wide receivers. I don't expect that to continue. I expect that these tight ends will need to become involved, and the fact that Moreau is seeing so much snap share is something that makes me think that he will eventually start to get targeted more. So even though he put up a zero last week, he's still a solid play. The one that I think could be the most exciting and the most unknown, that could be a potential sneaky buy out there is Tommy Tremble. So he is going to be my pick of this week. So Tommy Tremble, he is healthy. Last week, he ended up 4 receptions for 43 yards. I did not notice that he was healthy before last week, or I probably would have chosen him. So because of this, I'm going to choose him this week, and we're going to start riding Tommy Tremble for a little bit. Ian Thomas is on IR for a little while. They don't really have any other tight ends, and we kind of expect this offense to do a little bit better in the passing game with Andy Dalton back there rather than Bryce Young. So Andy Dalton in the past has targeted the tight end with some good frequency. Look back to some of his past numbers. He's never supported a absolute top tier tight end, but he's definitely given you some replacement levels in the past. When we're talking about when we first saw Juwan Johnson back in 2022, Andy Dalton was the quarterback for the Saints most of that season. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on. We're going to be focusing on, hey, this team, they're going to have a pretty easy matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. We will probably see Andy Dalton come in and target his big body tight end over the middle of the field. He'll be a competent passer. And so we're going to rely on that. We will see how this goes for this next week. If you want to go against what my recommendation, pick somebody else, I would probably recommend Foster Moreau. But realistically, any of these three guys are guys that I am more than fine starting this week. There is one other person that was mentioned on Eric's waiver wire pod of Eric Saubert. Eric Saubert, I am not going to do until I know that Kittle is not starting. I just don't want to rely on a backup San Francisco tight end. So that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Tommy Tremble. But realistically, I think Jordan Akins, Foster Moreau, and Tommy Tremble are all good picks for this week. That's everything that I have for you this week. If you haven't gone and checked out Manscaped and use our code SHFF20 at checkout to get 20% off, you need to go and do that. And once you have, be sure to start looking at your teams and identifying, hey, which ones are going to be competing this year. Next week, you will know whether some of your teams are 3-0 and in a great spot, or potentially 0-3 and it's starting to look pretty bleak for them. So be sure to pay attention and always make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.